This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.
The Institute of Religious Science presents its dean and founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, world-renowned author, philosopher, and spiritual leader. Every Sunday, Dr. Holmes brings you this radio ministry to show you how you can use the power for good in the universe to enjoy greater happiness, peace, and security through this thing called life. Listener from Highgrove, California writes, "Dear Dr. Holmes, this thing called life, in my opinion, is the finest program on the radio. And I am sure it is blessing all who have a part in it, both those who send it forth and those who receive it. Words fail me when I try to tell you how much it has helped me. God bless you for your splendid work." To the writer of this letter, Lou Graham of Highgrove, Dr. Holmes is sending a beautiful white Bible as a token of appreciation. And may we remind you that your personal letters are the only way we have of knowing the benefits you receive from this religious science radio ministry. So make it a point to write a personal letter to Dr. Holmes this week. If your letter is the one chosen to be read on this program, Dr. Holmes will send you a white Bible as a gift with a personal dedication and autograph on the presentation page. Now, here is Dr. Holmes to tell you how you can learn to use the power that Jesus used to bring you happiness and success in all your undertakings through this thing called life.
Friends, throughout all our lives, we have read and wondered about the miracles of Jesus. And we have also read about the miracles of the great healing shrines of the world. And again, we have wondered. But to how many of us has the thought come that this same power is available to everyone? Jesus had access to a spiritual power that he used in every way. And to him, it was the most natural thing in the world that he should tell the paralyzed man to walk, or multiply the loaves and fishes, or even still the wind and the waves. However, when we study his words carefully, we find that he said that others could do what he did, that is, if they followed the same rules. You see, Jesus was not the great exception. He was the great example. And he even said that greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. What we want to find out then is the nature of this power that he used, learn how it operates, and then apply it in our own lives in helping ourselves and in helping others. And I am not thinking only about the healing miracles where people were restored to physical health. For while this is wonderful and good, there is much more to life than merely getting rid of a pain. Jesus had access to some kind of a power and an intelligence that was available for every purpose and that guided him in everything he did. And he had a deep inward sense of security, a feeling that had removed all confusion, all doubt, and all uncertainty from his mind. What you and I want to find is the key that unlocks the doorway to this thing called life and to the power that is greater than we are. What we want to do is to discover the secret, which he so plainly told us was a certain kind of relationship that he had to God, who, he said, was present everywhere and was also within him and within us. We think of a scientific man as one who uses the powers of nature. We don't say that he possesses them as though they were a personal thing, for of course this would not be true. What we say is that science discovers the power, unlocks its energy, and then uses it for definite purposes. And what we really mean by all this is that there are certain physical laws and physical powers in nature which are greater than we are, but which can be used, and that these powers operate for us as though they were our servants. That is, we don't beseech them, we don't coerce them, we don't even concentrate them, we merely use them. When it was discovered that a hen lays a certain number of eggs and then sets on them and hatches out chickens, someone had the foresight to realize that you could have as many hens as you want to set on as many eggs as they could cover and produce as many chickens as are desirable, provided you actually get the hen and the eggs together. Here then is an example of the way that nature works. With complete independence of our thoughts and our will and our desires, but always with this in mind, that when we comply with the way she works, then we shall receive the benefit. And so it is with every scientific discovery. We observe the laws of nature, discover how they work, and then apply them. Nature herself produces the result. We are so used to thinking of this that we take it for granted, not realizing that every day in some physical laboratory, new things are being given us because we are learning how to cooperate with the power that gives them. Now, Jesus worked in a different kind of a laboratory. He understood a different set of laws. And because he used these laws, a power was delivered to him that has amazed the world. It is our purpose to rediscover these laws, to find out how they work and apply them for every good purpose and reap the benefit for ourselves and for others. Of course, in doing this, it is necessary that we follow the example of the one who really knew. The only reason we have to suppose that Jesus knew is that he proved his claim. What we should do then is to find out exactly what Jesus believed and why, and how he used this secret of the ages so effectively. The first thing we shall learn is that Jesus believed himself to be one with God. He believed that the divine presence was right where he was. He communed with this presence through prayer and in meditation until it was the most real thing to him in life. But Jesus added something else to this. For he told us that after we have discovered God, and when we have learned to commune with him, then a certain kind of spiritual power will be delivered to us if we have faith in it. We find then that the whole background of his teaching starts with the idea that there is such a presence, and there is such a power, that the presence is accessible to everyone, and the power can be used by anyone who has faith in it. This is no doubt the greatest secret of the ages. It is the magic back of the answer to prayer. It is the miracle of life itself. For whoever would have believed that you and I, so little and so alone, do still have access to a presence and a power that has the possibility of making everything in our lives happy and harmonious if we cooperate with it. But someone might ask, how can we believe in a presence when we do not see it, or in a power that we neither touch nor taste, nor do we handle? The answer to this is simple enough. And let's go right back to the hen setting on her eggs. Neither you nor I nor the hen ever put a chicken in an egg, nor did we ever take one out. The hen, by some method of which she is not consciously aware, follows the law of her own life. She lays the eggs, and then she sets on them, and nature performs the miracle. The power which does this cannot be touched or tasted or handled. It cannot even be seen. So it is with every law that we use. No one has ever seen the powers of nature. We only see how they work, and we accept them with the simplicity of a child. Again, someone might ask, how can we believe in a divine presence when we haven't seen it? The answer to this is very simple. How can we believe in the law of attraction and repulsion which we haven't seen? How can we believe that a magnet will draw steel since we don't see the power of the attraction that draws it? No one has ever seen love or human affection. No one has ever seen kindness and tolerance. But we have all felt them, and we have no more doubt of their existence than we do of our own being. I don't think we need be concerned with the fact that we don't see God other than in his creation, or that we haven't seen the forces of nature other than in and through what they do. You see, when Jesus told us that we should have faith, he was not telling us about something that is impossible to attain. For Jesus was the most simple and direct of all men, and he knew that faith is a natural attitude of mind. It is the very simplicity of his teaching that eludes us. As a matter of fact, it is so easy that it is hard, so simple that it is difficult, so direct that we fail to catch its meaning. For whether or not we know it, we all have faith. We merely are using it in reverse. And so Jesus told us that there is a divine intelligence that will guide us if we let it. There is a power that will operate for us if we believe it. But he also told us that this presence is love and this power is good, and that we cannot hope to derive the greatest benefit from the presence as divine guidance or the power as divine love until we first meet the presence in love and use the power for good. So far as I know, he laid down no other instructions than these. God is love and God is good. Therefore, divine power is delivered to us in such degree as we love and as we are constructive. No matter what we are doing, we should start with this simple thought. God is all there is. God is right where I am. Divine intelligence is directing me. There is something in me that knows what to do, knows how to meet every situation, how to overcome every obstacle. I am in partnership with the infinite, the mind that creates everything and sustains everything. I am one with God. We should entertain thoughts like these until nothing denies them. It isn't going to take any more faith than we now have, for one of the great lessons we must learn about faith is that we already possess it. but too often we are using it negatively. As a matter of fact, we are always affirming something, be it for good or for ill. We are always saying, I can or I cannot. What we need to do is to eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive. And in doing this, we shall gradually acquire the habit of affirmation. We must have faith that there is a power that operates on our word. Of course, we don't see its operation. We don't touch it or taste it or handle it. But we can feel it. And it is this deep underlying conviction and feeling that we must acquire. You see, it wasn't the words that Jesus used that did the miracles. It was his inner conviction of the power that operated on and in and through his words. He called this faith and belief, and in so doing reduced it to a mental attitude or to a way of thinking that we can understand. There is something that operates on our belief exactly like a law, because it is a law, and tends to bring about conditions that correspond to our belief. Frequently, when we begin to use this power, we find that our thoughts are pretty disturbed. In one moment, we affirm some good we desire, and in the very next minute, we deny what we have affirmed. In this way, we are a mental house divided against itself. Well, we may as well recognize this. But in recognizing it, there is no occasion for us to despair, for we know that our thinking really is a movement of our own minds upon themselves, right where we are, and we are the thinker. Therefore, we can change our thoughts. There must be a new impulse in the mind, a new way of looking at things. This is what Jesus called the new birth. He referred to this when he said that we must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit, which means being born into a complete conviction of the presence and the power and the activity of God in and through us. The power that follows this new birth, that power is automatic. And this is why Jesus told us that if we seek the kingdom first, everything else will be added. What a wonderful adventure lies before us. How grateful we should be for the opportunity to live and laugh and work and play. We should have a keen sense of anticipation and enthusiasm, because we know that we are working with a power of good greater than we are, a law of good that is available for everything in life. I believe this is the secret to the power of the life of Jesus and to an understanding of his teachings. You may call it faith, you may call it religion, you may call it worship. It is all this and more. But in reality, it resolves itself into a simple, sincere, and direct approach to God and to the law of good. The world is searching for an answer to its problems, frustrated and distraught, disillusioned and chagrined. Today it stands on the brink of two possibilities, to be or not to be. Nothing is more certain than that we have failed. Nothing is more certain than that we must rediscover this secret of the ages, this coming into close cooperation with the presence that made us and the power that sustains us. Along this pathway alone lies the hope of humanity. This, and this only, is the road to peace, to prosperity, and to happiness.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
Before Dr. Holmes continues his message for today, here is a reminder about the new home study course which he has prepared exclusively for you, the members of his AIR congregation. These 10 lessons on spiritual healing are based on Bible teachings and the miracles of Jesus. In these lessons, written by Dr. Holmes and his associate, Dr. Fletcher Harding, the authors explain that back of all methods of physical healing, there is one universal healing agency, which we call the power for good. These lessons give you actual techniques for using this divine power through spiritual mind treatment for your own and your family's health. Send for the printed folder containing a complete synopsis of these 10 spiritual healing lessons, plus one of Dr. Holmes' inspiring radio talks on the same subject. Just write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, and your free copy of this spiritual healing folder will be mailed to you at once. And here is another announcement. Dr. Holmes' calendar card for the month of May is now off the press. This handy postcard-sized thought card contains 31 daily affirmations, one for each day in May. To secure your two radio gifts, the spiritual healing folder and the calendar card for May absolutely free, write This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5.
Friends, throughout all the teachings of Jesus, we find reference to the thought that he was using a power greater than himself. Did he not say, I of mine own self can do nothing. The Father within me doeth the works. You see, Jesus knew that he was not separated from life. He knew that he was in it and of it, and that he belonged to it. It was his absolute reliance on this power that enabled him to perform his miracles of healing and all those wonderful signs that he said would follow those who believed. Our first effort, then, in applying the teaching of Jesus to our everyday problems, should be to arrive at a complete conviction and a very simple acceptance, the childlike acceptance in the law of good. This really is not hard, because nature already has equipped us with such a conviction. The child has faith that his parents will provide for his needs. We have faith that the blood will circulate in our body and that our food will be properly digested and assimilated and eliminated. Now he's shifting the basis of simple faith into a larger, a different field and saying, the same power that sustains everything sustains me. The same divine intelligence that created all these things is still creating in and through me. The same law of good that holds everything in place is directing my thoughts and actions so that they will be constructive and effective. Suppose you take a few moments each day to make such simple affirmations. And I think if I were you, I would make them audibly. Just take several periods during the day to get quiet and learn how to believe. You will find that each affirmation of belief will tend to build a whole body of conviction in your mind until finally your natural reaction will be an affirmative one. And now let us take as the thought for our meditation today these words of Jesus. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Let us see if we too cannot realize that he was talking about the power for good, which we all can use, as each says quietly to himself, I am now depending on the power that is greater than I am, and the law of good that is available right here and now. I identify my life with the presence and the power and the love of pure spirit. I identify myself with God. I recognize the divine presence within and around me and in all people. If there is anything in me that denies this presence or denies this power, I loose it and let it go. I am surrendering myself in faith and conviction to the acceptance that everything necessary for my well-being, my physical, mental, and spiritual self-expression is now operating in and through and around me. And not for myself alone do I accept this gift of life and love, but for all people everywhere. And so I surrender myself to the faith and conviction that all people live and move and have their being in the infinite spirit, and that this God, who is the one and only spirit and the Father of us all, is in each and every one of us, that we daily meet each other in God and recognize each other and love each other. For there is one life. That life is God. That life is the life of everyone.
Open my eyes that I may see, fullness of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Join us next week when Dr. Holmes' topic will be Bless and Curse Not. And be sure to send for the beautiful brochure telling you all about Dr. Holmes' brand new 10-lesson home study course on spiritual healing. To secure your free copy of this spiritual healing folder and your calendar card for the month of May absolutely free, write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, and plan to attend the church of your choice every Sunday. If you have no church affiliation of your own, you are invited to attend the non-sectarian Sunday services in the Religious Science Church nearest you. For those of you who live in the vicinity of Beverly Hills, Dr. Holmes speaks every Sunday morning at 10:45 in the Fox Beverly Theater at Wilshire and Beverly Drive. Next Sunday, Dr. Holmes' topic will be Spiritual Mind Healing. Our soloist today was Fred Guthrie with Irma Glenn at the organ. This program was directed by Wallace Bruce Ramsey.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.
This Thing Called Life with Dr. Ernest Holmes is a non-profit, non-denominational service brought to you every Sunday by the Institute of Religious Science, in the interests of greater fellowship and spiritual understanding. You are invited to send your free will gifts and offerings for the support of this radio ministry to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Hugh Brundage speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood. America is sold on ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.